Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined on the phone by Joe Masato. I'm in Charlotte, and Joe is back home in Oklahoma City after the Thunder's 104-102 overtime win to the Charlotte Hornets. Joe, this team is nothing if not unpredictable.
Yeah, very, very much so. This one was so strange. I mean, you say that score and it's like fairly low scoring, and they needed overtime for both teams to even get that. A lot of bad shooting, a lot of good defense, maybe. But let's start at the end, where, you know, this was a game the Thunder led, or the Thunder was in control, I thought, other than a terrible start to begin with, where they didn't score until like the 7:30 mark of the first quarter.
Yeah.
But then they heated up, really in control through three quarters, and then the Hornets came through in the fourth and sort of a, you know, high intensity ending to regulation.
Yeah, I mean, it started with a 19-point third quarter for the Thunder, but they still had the lead, and then, yeah, then the Hornets really took it away to begin the fourth, and to end regulation, really, the, I guess, game changer, player of the game, play of the game, was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's defense. And after the game, Chris Paul was like, who knew that Shai could play post defense like that? But he was fantastic, and he grabbed two steals like on back-to-back possessions with, you know, just a couple minutes left in the game.
Yeah, 145 and 130 left.
And then, and so they have, it's a tie game. So right before he gets that, his first steal, Steven Adams ties it up, and it's been back and forth really since, you know, since the Hornets grabbed their first lead. And so it's coming down into crunch time. The Thunder hasn't been shooting well. They really need to get stops. And so that was crucial. He goes coast to coast on one, and then the Thunder wasn't able to capitalize on the second one and score from it. But then he's part of, again, another turnover where Terry Rozier comes down, and it's almost, I think he was probably arguing that it was a loose ball and he was trying to regain possession of it. But you had, I think Shai came in second. You had a couple different Thunder players diving on the floor. Terrence Ferguson dove on the floor after it. Then Shai came in, and Terry Rozier ends up turning the ball over because he double dribbles. And then Chris Paul is able to hit a pull-up jump shot, and suddenly the Thunder has a four-point lead, which they needed all of because the Hornets go and tie it up right at the last minute.
Yeah, Bridges hit a three. That cut into the lead. PJ Washington had a layup. And then the ending was wild. And one of the things that was a constant theme throughout the game was very bad Thunder free throw shooting. But for a long time, it looked like, you know, it wasn't going to cost them. And then it did cost them. Dennis Schroeder, who's an 85% free throw shooter. He was one of four from the free throw line tonight. Free throw Schroeder. He stepped to the line with 8 seconds left, could have put the Thunder up by three, but misses the first. So it's a two-point game. And then Devontae Graham, who hit some big shots late, but really struggled through four quarters until like 8 seconds left in overtime. He, you know, split Terrence Ferguson, Steven Adams, made a layup at the rim over Chris Paul, and that sent the game into overtime. So, you know, obviously if Schroeder makes that first free throw, the Hornets have to settle for a three to get the tie. Instead, that changes it where they can get to the rim and tie it with a layup.
Yeah, that layup was bizarre. I mean, it was a great play by him, but the Thunder seemed so content on not fouling, and I think maybe they were should have asked more about this. But I assumed that they were going to go for three to try to just win it right there and then.
Yeah.
Even though they've been shooting terribly from three, but they also just kept shooting them. So it's like, hey, why not? Maybe you'll get lucky. And they honestly did start hitting some key three-point shots down the stretch, which was bizarre after they made just one in the first half, one of 19. But yeah, the Thunder was not, you know, very intent on not fouling, which as they should. But he was able to kind of just squiggle around some guys with their hands up and get to the rim.
Yeah, and the Hornets did a very good job defending Chris Paul. On the Thunder call timeout, I think there was like a little over a second left. They drew a play up for Chris Paul.
It was 1.9.
Yes, two defenders right in his face. Wasn't a great look. Bounced off the rim. But really, Chris Paul, I don't know at what point this was, but one of the things I was about to write in my takeaways is like three of their starters weren't giving them any offense at all tonight, and Bazley, Ferguson, and Paul. Paul's like 2 of 9. And then he and Shea, they were just so good down the stretch. I'm talking about in regulation. Chris Paul came alive. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, we talked about his defense, but he had 10 points in that fourth quarter alone, and they really needed that with the way that last minute or so played out.
Yeah, we'll get back to the beginning, but a weird start for the starters. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was the only one who scored in the first quarter, the only starter.
That's a wild stat.
And it continued through like too much of the second quarter too. I don't know where the exact mark was, but Steve McGee from Channel 9 pointed it out to me partway through the second. I was like, is that true? Like, what?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know. The bench scoring was so key. But yeah, we'll get to that. What about, let's talk about overtime. I mean, this was the Thunder's third overtime game. They had overtime wins, really dominant overtime wins against Philly and Minnesota. They won those games kind of going away in those last 5 minutes. This one, a little bit tighter.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just because we watched those other two where they were so dominant, but once they got into overtime, it felt like they were going to pull, like, come out with it. It got a lot closer than I expected, because they had, you know, they had some momentum besides the last couple plays, but they, you know, they'd really ramped up the intensity on defense, and that is really their key. And they've been so good lately at finishing games, other than, you know, even their last loss, they finished strong. They just started finishing strong too late. But they had some of the momentum. You still had Chris Paul coming up super clutch. And he, you know, this is him, his like homecoming game, right? He's from North Carolina. He had a ton of people in the stands. I don't know exactly how many, but someone came by and was like, you have like 80 people waiting for you. And I wasn't sure if they were exaggerating.
Yeah, on the broadcast, they said like a whole section. So that might not be an exaggeration.
Yeah, so, I mean, and he had, you know, his whole family out there and stuff like that too. So he had a lot of friends and family and fans in the stands. And he did his veteran thing and was hitting big shots.
Yeah, he had a big shot. It 2:46 left, put the Thunder up. This is an overtime, put the Thunder up by 5. It looks from there like they might clinch this thing. And then Devontae Graham, who was 3 of 13 from 3 tonight. By the way, only one player in the NBA has more made threes than Devontae Graham, and that's James Harden. So to hold him to 3 of 13 is pretty impressive. He made a 30-footer. That makes it 103-102 Thunder lead with 13 seconds left. And then the free throw thing, it looked like it was going to come back to get him again, because Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, just the almost the same situation, 8 seconds left, like Dennis Schroeder in regulation. Shea misses the first, makes the first, misses the second. And instead of making it a 3-point game, it's again a 2-point game. And then, you know, Charlotte, to finish off, they go to their rookie, PJ Washington. And it was kind of like a flashback to me. I like covered Shea and PJ at Kentucky.
That's funny.
And Shea looks very upset that they called a foul. It was kind of a questionable call, since PJ Washington to the free throw line, and 70% shooter, two shots to tie it. And he misses the first, has to intentionally miss the second to give them a chance, and they just can't corral the rebound in time. So some, you know, free throw shooting was very, very important tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Shea, after the game, was asked, you know, how were you able to finish this out? And he said he started with, you know, their defense and getting stops. And he was like, and a little bit of luck that he missed that free throw. But mostly the stops. I mean, yeah, that was big. Although you could say that Charlotte got lucky because Shea missed a free throw too. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
There were phantom blockers out tonight.
Yeah.
The free throw defense was insanely good.
Yeah. The Thunder didn't start the year off like great from as far as free throw shooting, but I looked it up today and they're sixth in the NBA, which is impressive. And tonight, 19 of 31. But none of that really matters because they won. And like the bad free throw shooting only is a glaring problem if you lose. So
that's true.
Charlotte missed PJ Washington obviously missed the biggest free throw of the night. Needed two to tie, and if you miss the first, you really have no chance.
Wild. I'm still processing all of the twists and turns of this game, and we haven't even started talking about the beginning, where it took 2 minutes and 59 seconds for anyone to score.
Jeez. I mean, it was like missed shot after missed shot. I think the Thunder started 0 of 8. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of foreshadowing because, you know, the Thunder had some hot stretches, but really neither team shot the ball great all night.
No. No. I mean, we already...
It was ugly.
Already well documented the 3-point shooting, which
12 of 70. They combined to go 12 of 70, the two teams.
And they still kept taking shots.
One of the best stats is Charlotte starts 0 of 18 from 3 and still shoots a better percentage from 3 than the Thunder.
Ridiculous. Yeah, Dennis Schroeder was really the Thunder's only good 3-point shooter tonight. Actually, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the only other one who made a three. He was one of one. Oh, no. And, sorry. And Lu Dort. Lu Dort turned around and made his first one.
First three.
And then shot one of the worst threes I've ever seen.
So he's one of 11 now.
But the first one, right on target. And then... I believe that one of the... So Dennis was 3 of 8, and I think one of those was like a three-quarter court shot or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right.
So, really, we can give him 3 of 7.
And we talked about this on the last pod. Darius Bazley's shot selection... I know they want him to shoot open threes, but I thought tonight went a little beyond... open threes. He was 0 of 6 from 3, 0 of 7 overall, and last 10 games he's 4 of 26 from 3.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I think they're obviously trying to take away him driving to the basket, but like 0 of 6? Like, he's a better 3-point shooter than that.
I think so. I mean, I kind of wonder, though. I mean, he's better than 0 of 6, yes. But, like, when he was shooting 35% from 3, I don't know. I mean, that was on such a small sample that it's like maybe he's not that good. And right now he's – I don't have the updated stats, but he's got to be shooting sub 30% now after this – after tonight's game, which is bad. So you I don't know, like, where – I don't know where, like, his end of season average, like, might be. I think, you know, he's still so young and the sample size is still so small that I think it remains to be seen. Because, like, one bad night, it's still early enough to where that can change your, you know, line by two or three percentage points.
I mean, his shot looks smooth, especially compared to, like, Lou Dort. Even the one that he made, it was like, ooh, that's a little herky-jerky.
Yeah, he looks comfortable with it. Very comfortable.
Comfortable enough to take 6. I mean, the Thunder does want him to keep shooting, and he has gone through spells where because he has kept shooting and because Chris Paul has been adamantly pouring confidence into him that he's shot really well from 3. But I think, I mean, I asked Billy Donovan a little bit about this pregame, and he was talking about, he said that he thought that all but maybe one of Bazley's shots from yesterday were good shots, were good three-point shots, and maybe there was one where he should have drove to the basket. But he talked about how that decision-making is the hardest thing for young players, where you're trying to decide in a split second, should I drive? Should I pass? Should I shoot? And, you know, he's gone, the last time that he played competitive basketball, he was in high school. And so he's making that jump in competition and trying to make the, you know, because I'm sure when he's clearly the best high school player on the floor. And so he's not forced to make those decisions because he can just be like, well, I'll do what I want to do, and I can do that around these guys. But when you're in the NBA, that's no longer the case, and so your decision-making is really tested more.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the next step for him is, you know, when he's open in the corner, definitely take those. But we've seen him either take that shot or drive into the paint and either flip up a shot or kind of get stuck in no man's land when two guys converge on him. So much of, you know, even early in the season, I think we saw this, is that he was, like, surprisingly a good passer and good playmaker, really good, and had a good feel for the game. And, like, if he gets that back going, I think that'll open things up again.
Yeah, definitely. So he's 19.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it's kind of crazy on a night where, you know, he's not a regular starter, but starting for Gallinari, but you've got two starters who combined for 0 points, and him and Ferguson, and you still win on the road, and a lot of that is bench points, 47-26, which, yeah. I mean, a lot of that is Schroeder, but that's been a constant theme because of Schroeder and these high point games from him again.
Yeah, we talked last time about how he scored 20, right? Or was it over 20? You have 20, 21?
Last game? Yeah, he had over 20, because tonight was 5 straight of over 20.
But we were talking about how that wasn't a very efficient 20. Tonight was an efficient 24.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, 10 of 17, 3 of 8. Again, the only thing he did bad was
free throw shooting,
which... you're not worried about that because he was, I think in December, he was shooting like 95% from the free throw line, something wild. Again, tonight had the best plus minus. I mean, he's just been really good. They said this out on the broadcast, but 14 straight games of 15 or more.
That's wild. So
there's just been no, he hasn't had a bad game in like a month, more than a month.
I know. I was talking when he was, you know, kind of going off. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've written so many Schroeder gamers, I can't write another one.
Stop making shots.
But he's so much of that guy who brings the energy and brings that push. And it's like he starts making shots in those pivotal moments. It's not just that he's making shots, but it's when the Thunder most needs someone to score, he just goes and finds a bucket. And so it's so hard not to write about him. Tonight, I mean, Shea's defense took over at the end, and that was, I changed my game story like 7 times, but that ended up being what I wrote about and what I thought was the story of the game. But man, Schroeder's been really good this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, the 3-point guards on this team, or whatever you want to call them, like Shea, Chris, and Schroeder, they're so fun to watch on a nightly basis. They all have completely different games. They have different strengths. And, you know, they complement each other so well. Like, you had Dennis with the scoring punch off the bench. And, I mean, I think you were right to write about Shea's defense there. I thought those, you know, if they would have won in regulation, there's no doubt that those 2 steals that he had were the story of the game. I mean, just the defense that he played. And, you know, he's so long, like, he can just – get his hands in passing lanes. It's like he like plays taller than he even is because his arms are so long.
Well, and Billy Donovan talked about how a lot of what was going on with those plays was that he adjusted to how he was posting, how he was playing post defense, so that he wasn't just leaning on Washington, that he was like shifting and adjusting, and so he was able to kind of escape and get his hand in there and cut off some of those passes.
Yeah, but this game, I don't know what other specifics you want to talk about, but another thing is, like, second night of a back-to-back, you've got home road overtime game, and just their ability to stay in that,
and they're going, yeah, good props to them for that. But also, like, now they're doing international travel. Like, Toronto's going to be rough. They've just really, at least, like, get a day off. But, man, they've used up a lot of energy in the last 2.
you have used up a lot of energy as well.
At least I'm not running around them. I think when we talk about the bench, we talk about Schroeder so often, and that's 100% merited, but I think we sometimes forget to mention Nerlens Noel, who's been just very solid all season. And he's not, I think it's because he's not putting up like the eye-popping 15-20 points a game, but like, he was 2 of 2 and got to the line tonight, and he's always, you know, a very active defender and rim protector, and yeah, grabbed 7 rebounds in 19 minutes.
Yeah, 3 steals, like, it's pretty impressive when a backup center leads your team in steals. He's so consistent, and you're right, like, I think it's easy to overlook sometimes because he's pretty much the same guy every game. Like, he's high energy, he's just what you would want out of a backup center. He can defend, he can block shots, he can, you know, I think he's getting better as the season goes on at finishing around the rim. And first it was the, you know, the trouble that Schroeder and him had on those lobs. That's gotten better. And then it seems like him and Chris Paul are developing more of a 2-man game as well. So he's been good. And another thing that stood out about the bench tonight is, you know, Billy Donovan trusting Lou Dort in such a big defensive spot at the end of the game stood out.
Yeah, he put him in there. He did a bunch of quick substitutions, but it was like with 7 seconds left or something, he went very defensive and had Lou Dort out there and was like, oh my gosh, this rookie has already been in so many key situations. Yeah.
That was impressive. And same with Deontay Burton. Like, he's, you know, still trying to establish himself, but I think if he's going to make it, he's got to do it on the defensive end. And it seems like Billy trusts him defensively as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in for the last 1.9 seconds.
Yeah, he played 21 minutes tonight.
Yeah, and I think part of that was that so many of their wings and guards played so many minutes last night. So you ended up, even though they played in overtime, I mean, even though they played overtime, they had about the same minutes as they usually do, right? So Shea with 36, Chris Paul with 34, although usually he's a little lower than that, and Terrence Ferguson with 29, Stephen Adams 33. But being able to put Lou Dort in there and Deontay Burton in there absorbs some of those minutes. You know, Lou Dort for the wings, and then Deontay Burton helps with the, I mean, we've seen them a lot more recently while they've played, while Gallinari's been out, but tonight Mike Muscala didn't play at all, and so he was kind of your backup power forward.
Yeah,
although Billy Donovan tweaked a lot of, we've seen some interesting lineups.
Yeah, I thought tonight had some of the most interesting rotations and lineups of the season. I think it's part injury, part second night of a back-to-back. But Steven Adams, I did not realize this until you just said it, 33, almost 34 minutes. He had played but when his injury stuff was popping up, he had played two 30-minute games all year, and now he's playing more than 30 minutes on the second night of a back-to-back. And
yeah.
You know, didn't, watching the game, he didn't just jump out, but he had 14 and 12. He's just been very steady.
Indeed. Anything else you want to add?
I do not believe so.
All right. Let's end this thing.
Let's end it. There was an official tonight. CJ Washington, not to be confused with PJ Washington. That's interesting.
That was very confusing because I had a fan that kept being like, I didn't have him. There was a fan that was standing right near where I was sitting who kept yelling Washington, get it right. And I was so confused at the beginning. I was like, what? he's not doing anything.
It's they both turn around. What am I doing? What are you talking to? What's going on?
Which one of us?
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact.
Yeah. Do you have any Kentucky tidbits?
A little bit. So PJ stayed 2 years, but his freshman year was Shea's freshman year and Tommy's redshirt freshman year, and that team lost to Kansas State in the Sweet 16, and they would have played Loyola Chicago had they won. Everything it was setting up perfectly for them to make a Final Four run. This was also on a team with Kevin Knox. So pretty talented, not terrific by Kentucky standards, but very good. And in the Kansas State game, they lost. Kansas State could not defend PJ Washington. Shea had emerged by then as the team's best player, but PJ was just getting into the paint, and they kept fouling him, and he kept, I don't want to pile on, but he kept missing free throws, and that's why Kentucky lost the game. So I was oh my gosh, no one cares now, but I was kind of stunned to see that he's a 70% free throw shooter, so he's clearly gotten way better on that even in 1 year. But gotta keep working on the free throws, PJ.
There were a lot of guys from consecutive Kentucky years, because then you had, Shea, PJ.
Yeah, you had Malik Monk out
Malik
there.
Malik Monk, Hamidou Diallo was...
Yeah.
Yeah, both
of... Maryland was before then, but, still a Kentucky guy.
Yeah. So much Kentucky. All right. Wrapping it up, for real. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your family, your enemies, your pets, your grandparents, your parents, anyone who you forgot to get a gift for over the holidays.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you just gotta make up. It's a good enough gift that giving it to them, putting it on their phone,
would make it good enough.
It's good enough that it would make up for having missed Christmas. That's right. if that's what you're giving it for. And we will see you on, what day is it?
It's Friday now.
So Sunday?
Sunday.
We'll see you on Sunday for a slightly early game in Toronto.